Thank you for coming and giving of your time on this lovely looking spring-like morning. Yay! I am Laura Hudson. I'm a counselor with Fieldstone Counseling. I am wife to Mike. We live in Green, so probably not very many of you might know me at all. I think I see a couple familiar faces over here. So, I'm married to Mike. We have three grown married children and 14 grandchildren.
Oh.
Yeah, it's been a blur. The last 12 years have just been a blur. But we want to make this an interactive time. I don't want to hear myself all day. I want to hear you from you because I know you all have lots of things that you've been learning, that the Lord's been showing you and teaching you. So for that reason, with the tight schedule that we have, I'm going to try to keep us moving. I wish we had a little bit more time, but it is what it is. So I'm going to use my phone, not checking anything else except the stopwatch. Okay, well, let me pray, and then we'll get started. Do you need a handout? Oh, no, you have one. Okay, right. Well, Lord God in heaven, we do praise you and thank you for bringing us together. We do praise you and thank you for the grandchildren and the children that you have blessed us with. And we pray, Lord, for this time. We thank you that you are here with us because of your son, Jesus. And we thank you that you are pleased with us gathering together as a body. And you're pleased that we are seeking your face and seeking your truth to help us know how to be intentional, biblical grandparents. So I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's get warmed up by looking at your handout. Number one, the call. We have a call as grandparents. So we're going to get warmed up by looking at letter A, just some of the grandparents that are mentioned in the Bible. Laban in Genesis 31, he was the father-in-law to Jacob. I'm not sure that he was a very good example of a grandfather, but he was a grandfather. Jacob himself was a grandfather, and we have his example in Genesis 48 of giving a blessing to his grandsons. Naomi, by proxy, her daughter-in-law Ruth, had a son, Obed, and Naomi became, it says, a nursemaid to Obed. And we know Obed was the ancestor of King David, who was the ancestor of our Savior Jesus. Now, we do have an intentional biblical grandparent in the New Testament, Lois. Lois was the grandmother to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, it actually says that Lois imparted faith to Timothy and instructed him in the scriptures along with her daughter Eunice. So that's some intentional biblical grandparenting. All right, so letter B. We are called by the Lord to teach about the Lord. In Deuteronomy 4:9, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. That's a direct call from the Lord to us. By extension, it's not specifically to grandparenting, it's to parents, but by extension, Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you shall teach them the Lord's commandments diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then we have the Great Commission, letter C. Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus tells his followers to go out and to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that he had commanded. Well, if we're going to go out, wouldn't we go to our own family and tell them about the Lord? We had two people come in. I want to give you the handouts. Thank you. All right, then under letter D, we have from Titus, Paul is encouraging Titus to encourage his older men and women to be to teach the younger and to model what it looks like to follow after the Lord to the next generation. And again, wouldn't we do that for our grandchildren and for other younger people around us? So we have a call as older men and women in Titus 2. All right, and then E, several places in the Psalms, the Lord says we are to proclaim him to the next generation. So Psalm 71:18, so even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. And in Psalm 78:4-8, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. Now, we can think biblical stories, but you know what? He's done great deeds in our own lives. So it's not just the biblical stories. It's telling of what he has done in our lives as well. In Psalm 145:4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. All right, and then letter F, Proverbs calls us. I'm sorry, you're all mumbling. What? You're missing a page. Oh, my goodness. Let me look at the handout. Well, that's really stinky. Okay, well, you just got to follow along. You know, just flip over your page and take some notes, I guess. So sorry about that. Proverbs 13:22 says to leave a legacy, inheritance. So Proverbs 13:22 says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Now, the context is financial, but I would extrapolate it out even to a good name or to the legacy of your faith. All right. So now I'm going to, I'm sorry that you don't have it on your handout, but there is a number two, and it's called the privilege. So we just talked about number one, the call. Number two is the privilege. Being a grandparent is a blessing from the Lord. We have a privileged, influential, and irreplaceable role, but we must be intentional. So my oldest grandchild is 12, and he thanked the Lord. He still thinks Grandma and Papa are great. But I'm anticipating that that influence that we have upon him is going to be waning in the coming years. So it's like, whoa, we really got to take advantage of this time. So when they think that we're great and they're listening to us, what are we talking about, right? So the privilege. Now, we have the privilege to also come along our children or the adults that are raising our grandchildren. So for the if they're believing parents, we can be co-laborers with them for their children. We're working with them so that our grandchildren, their children will know the Lord. But with our grandchildren whose parents are unbelievers, we can be spiritual surrogates for them. All right, and then grandparenting, oh, this is fun, can be a second chance to give what you may have missed giving to your own children, right? We were a little bit busy, weren't we? Working and trying to keep houses and going, taking kids everywhere, but now we've learned. Life goes by too fast, so we're learning to slow down, right? And here's something that the Lord has been teaching me over these last few years. Don't turn your blessing into a burden. Keep things in perspective. So, for example, when we're having everybody come for a meal, I can be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to feed them? What am I going to have everybody else bring? Let's get the toys ready. What are we going to do with them? And before I know it, I'm starting to feel weighed down by it and worried, kind of like Martha, right? Worried about many things. And the Lord is reminding me, what are you doing? This is a blessing. Enjoy it. So I'm learning to make it as easy as I can. Put stuff in a crock pot and forget about it, right? All right, so now we're going to pause here, and I would like to have some interaction with you about the call of being a grandparent and the privilege of being a grandparent. So anyone want to share anything about those? That the Lord has shown you, taught you, that maybe you learned from your own grandparents? Yes.
I'm in the process of adopting a 3-year-old grandson.
Is anyone else here raising their grandchildren? Well, the Lord has called you to an even higher calling, Cedric. And I believe his promises that what he's called you to do, he's going to be there with you to help you do it.
I fully trust that, but still need some
Absolutely. Guidance. Absolutely. So I hope that you have a group of people to come around you. And if you don't, you need it. You need, like if you have community groups, small groups, that you're doing life with people that can give you a break at times because you're going to need it. A 3-year-old, oh my goodness. And to do it on your own without your wife. When did you say your wife passed?
She passed in March of 2020.
You're still grieving. So, Cedric, yeah, I can't emphasize enough that you need people to be around you. You need the body of Christ. Fieldstone is available as a resource to come alongside you, but it's better to have somebody who's just doing life around you to help you.
Excuse me.
Yes.
I feel very convicted to say a corporate prayer for
you. Please.
Can we do that?
That would be wonderful.
Father God.
Yes, that's true. And what's your name?
My name's Kathleen.
Kathleen. So Kathleen brings up another issue that I'm going to just touch on. You know, we just don't have time to go into these things deeply, but our adult children are making choices and decisions, some good, some not so good, that are affecting us. And we don't really have a voice in that. But again, we have to look at the sovereignty of our Lord, right? That he has sovereignly called Kathleen's children to foster and possibly adopt, and she's in there too. Even though it's difficult to maybe embrace those things that we weren't anticipating and that are going to be a lot of work and a lot of emotional work, but again, trusting in the goodness and the sovereignty and the wisdom of our God. Yeah. We have several people in our church, in my church, that are doing the same thing. And yeah, there's a couple going down to Costa Rica to bring back 3 children. And I was just talking to the grandmother, and she's like, oh, I don't know how to speak Spanish. So she's like, oh, what am I, you know, and it's like, okay, we'll just take it as it comes. So, all right, thank you, Kathleen. Now, we're going to have to move on, sadly. So I don't know where your handouts. Do you have number 3 on your handouts?
No.
No, okay. All right, well, we'll fumble through this. Number 3 is navigating relationships. So there is a letter A, adult children. So that's what we're going to talk about first. Navigating the relationships with our adult children, the parents of our grandchildren. We need to keep in mind the law of Christ, right? Jesus says to love God and to love others. And that's what we need to keep as our filter at all times. I'm seeking to love the Lord, and I'm seeking to love others, including my adult children. So number 1 under adult children is being a support to them. We are in a supportive role. Parenting is a hard job. We've done it. It's hard. So we should seek to encourage them. Using Ephesians 4:29 as a guide, that we seek to build up, imparting grace to the hearer. So we should seek to encourage. We should seek to reinforce parents' teachings and discipline, and encouraging grandchildren to honor their parents. Now, we're hopefully assuming that what they're teaching and how they're raising the children is good and right. I'm just going on that assumption right now. We should seek to serve the parents by doing tasks, taking children to allow breaks, helping with transportation, giving gifts or needed money, helping with meals, being a sounding board by listening to them, their struggles, their hopes, and asking how we might support them. But we need to be careful not to try to fix or give advice. We're not parenting them anymore. And sometimes, as we've just alluded to, they're going to make some choices that may not be what we would prefer for them to be making. And we can be empathetic and sympathetic, but they may have to feel the consequences of the choices and the decisions that they're making. And so we should not try to rescue them necessarily. They are adults making their decisions. And yes, we feel the effects of that. Okay, number two, maybe we should periodically check in with them about our grandparenting. Are there ways that they wish that we would engage with the children? Have we stepped over the line somewhere? Number three, understand, and this is under number three, if you had a number three on your handout. Okay, are you there now? Okay. Understand your limits and communicate them clearly to adult children. All right, so I've got listed here. We have limited time, energy, health, strength, finances. I mean, some of us are still working. Some of us have aging parents still. We are stretched pretty thin, aren't we? We need to understand our limits and not just say yes. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. No, maybe we can't. Maybe we shouldn't. So, understand our limits and communicate them clearly to the adult children. And so then leading into number four, give adult children choices based upon your limitations. Okay, so two of the families in my family have six children. So, I mean, I've come to the point where it's like, I'm sorry, I cannot do six children for the entire weekend. I can do three, but I cannot do six. So know your limitations and communicate that clearly to them and give them a choice. Okay, you know, I'm willing to help, but this is how it's going to have to look. So then also leading into number five, allow yourself time to consider requests made for your help and then get back to them in a timely way about what you've decided will work for you. So it's okay to buy yourself a little time, like, I don't know. I'm going to go home, I'll look at the calendar, and I'll get back with you later today or at the latest tomorrow and let you know what I can do. Number six, seek to live out the law of Christ to love God and others in a positive way, like what we've been talking, through encouragement, through help, but also by not doing the negative, such as whining, complaining. I never see the kids anymore. How long? It's been a week since I've seen them. Okay. Criticize. Why are you letting them do that? Why is she wearing that? Demand. Give orders. Interfere. Or undermine their authority over their children. These are some things we need to kind of pause and think about, right? Okay. Number seven, pray for wisdom. Oh, yes. Pray for wisdom, discernment, and careful prudence to deal with your own heart first. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5 talks about not judging and also taking the log out of our own eyes first. and sift through what may be just preferences. It might be these are preferences on your part. That's, you know, it's not how you raised your kids, but now look at what they're doing. Versus truly a major concern that needs to be discussed. Okay, we're going to pause, and I saw a hand go up, and we'll have some interaction about navigating those relationships with adult children. And again, this is a deep subject. I know that there's a lot of hard situations out there, and I wish we had more time, but we'll go ahead and share what you want to share.
I have a question. You said...
Ooh-wee, see? These are the deep waters of grandparenting, right? Okay, go ahead. Which makes me think of what 1 Peter 3, where if a wife has an unbelieving husband, that without a word he can be won by the conduct of his wife. So that's interesting. Yeah. So that's why, you know, we need to pray for wisdom, discernment, because you're right, we have a call from the Lord, but we also have these relationships. And if we're cut off because we're not respecting the parents' wishes, then what do we do because we're cut off? Kathleen.
In our last session, we pushed because I'm a step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that adds another, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Leanne, thank you. Yeah, it is really hard to bite our tongues, isn't it? I mean, we've learned a lot, we've raised kids, we know some things, and yet they don't have ears to hear, they got to figure it out for themselves. And yeah. You wanted to add something?
Maybe you could just ask.
I like that. That's good. All right, let's talk about a little bit more fun. Navigating the relationship with the grandchildren. Do you have that? That's letter B.
No.
Okay.
We have grandparenting from a distance.
Okay, we'll get there, but we're not there yet. All right, so this is still under navigating relationships. And this is with the grandchildren. So I listen and take some notes. I'm sorry. Number one, under navigating relationship with grandchildren, be a storyteller. God is the great storyteller. And he made us to love stories. And grandchildren love to hear about our childhood and about their parents' childhood. So I have to really rack my brain sometimes, but I'll look at pictures to try to spark some things. But they just don't get tired of hearing these stories. So tell stories of how the Lord has protected or provided for you. So we have a piano in our house, and it was just kind of a God story. We didn't have any money, and how the Lord provided this piano. And so when the grandkids play the piano, I tell the story of how God provided the piano. I have this old china that is another God story of I had no china, and how I just wanted a teacup and a saucer to take to mother-daughter tea, and the Lord provided this big thing of old china for me. So I tell these stories to the kids, these God stories. Think about how Jacob got to tell his grandchildren how he got his limp, or think about how Naomi told Obed about the courtship of his mom and dad. So there's stories that we can tell. Tell your testimony. Tell how the Lord saved you. Work that in somehow, some way, sometimes. Of course, read stories from the Bible and other sources. All right, number two, this is a relational thing. Ask questions to get to know them. What's going on in their lives? What are they currently interested in? Dinosaurs, bugs, unicorns, princesses. What are girls? Okay, you've got older ones. You can tell where I'm still at. What are they reading and why are they reading? What outside activities are they doing? What songs or games would they want you to do with them? What are their thoughts, questions about social issues, faith? So just ask questions. Don't make it an interrogation, of course, but just find out what's going on. Number three, play. Oh, they love to play. They love to see Grandma and Papa play. Get down on the floor and play. Seeing, explore, enrich their lives. Some of it's going to be based on the answers you get about what they're interested in. Take them to go see some dinosaurs or bugs or whatever. But be relational. Do it with them. You know, when we were parents, we didn't have that luxury, right? We had to go cook a meal. We had to get ready to go do the next thing. But we need to take the time now and do it with them. They want to be with us. Do it while they want to be with us. All right, teach life skills like baking, cooking, sewing, woodworking, yard work, budgeting, saving money. They loved it. My grandkids love to go out and pick up sticks. Of course, Papa pays them, so that helps. But during these times, have intentional conversations. Talk about how God created whatever that you're looking at. Bring God into these things, not in a preachy way, in a very natural way. Share a hobby with them, photography, playing a musical instrument. Teach them social skills like courtesy and manners, morals, doing what's right, being kind, generous, fair, and caring. Okay, here's number 5 is one that I'm big on. The family makes fun of me about it, but just family meals. I just think family meals are a wonderful time to gather, but making them intentional. You know, those kids are quiet for like 5-10 minutes while they're eating. Take advantage of that time. I don't even sit and eat during that time. I talk to them while they're sitting and they're quiet and they're eating. So what do? We always say a blessing before the meal. And we might make it a blessing where we incorporate them. Sometimes we sing a blessing. We sing, praise God from whom. We do that. We teach them those kinds of songs. We tell family stories. We discuss events of the day, things that we've seen. We share God's word during that time when they're quiet and eating. We share God's word. We share memories. We try, as they get a little bit older, to include them in the meal prep and the cleanup, you know, set the table and clean it up. You're making memories. They will remember that. Okay, spiritual. Number 6, spiritual. Use biblical catechisms to generate spiritual discussions. You could explore biblical festivals. Kids love activities and eating, and that's in the festivals. Explore the biblical festivals together with them from the Bible. To see that God values celebrations and memorials, and to learn how they all point to Jesus. Pray before meals, pray before bedtimes if they spend the night with you. And if something praiseworthy happens, like you see them actually be kind to one of their siblings, praise them and pray about that. Praise God for what you just saw happen. Pray for their salvation regularly. Say a blessing over them, like in Numbers chapter 6. Share what you are reading and studying in the Bible. Make it personal. Don't make it a Sunday school lesson. Don't make it a sermon. But, for example, like I'm reading in the book of Daniel, and I could easily tell the children, I am praying, and this is true, I am praying that God will give me courage, like he did Daniel, to take a stand. They can relate to that. Sing hymns or spiritual songs with them. Memorize scripture with them, and they're going to do it better than you, and they're going to love it. They're going to love that they can memorize better than Grandpa or Grandma. As has already been mentioned, bring them to your church's special events, like VBS or the Mother-Daughter Tees. Serve together as they get older at a mission, or go on a mission trip with them. And share the gospel at every opportunity. And you know, when I find it most usually with my grandkids is when they get in trouble. And I can talk about forgiveness, and I can talk about grace and God's mercy. Share the gospel. All right, here's one. Number 7, do not play favorites. Now, we know the Bible story of Isaac and Rebekah and how that didn't play out well when they favored Jacob and Esau. We know the Bible story about Jacob and how he favored Joseph and Benjamin, and that didn't play out well. So, you know, some of them are just easier to love than others. Some of the ages are easier than other ages, but we have to really work hard at being even-handed with them. And I hear the cousins talk to the cousins. Has Grandpa and Grandma taken you to? I'm like, oh, I got to take them both. So they compare notes. The cousins compare notes. So don't play favorites. Try to be as even-handed. And then number 8, seek to suffer well and die well. Not necessarily what we want to talk about, but it's a truth. Old age, as my stepmother says, is not for sissies. It's hard. There's a lot of loss. We're losing our health. We're losing relationships. And our children and our grandchildren are watching us. How are we suffering well? And how are we going to die? How are we going to die well? Okay, let's pause there and have some interaction. Navigating the relationship with your grandchildren. Any thoughts? I just threw out some activities and things that have lent themselves to sharing biblical truths and our relationship with the Lord. Anybody else have any that they'd like to share? Yes. Yes.
The battle of the mind.
Yes.
And, as I say, because Satan has a lot of influence on people.
Yes.
Including our grandchildren, maybe including on us from time to time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, but the more we have the will to kind of do these things, maybe most of us in here do, but it's a constant challenge.
Absolutely, right. So. That's right. That's why it's intentional, because it's easy to not have, as my husband says, have your head in the game. It's easy not to. It's easy to get distracted, and I think that is a tactic of Satan to get us distracted, and we're not doing things intentionally. We don't. Right. Right. Yes. Yes. So it's a matter of prayer and asking the Lord to protect us and help us to persevere. That's good. I think your wife wanted to say something too. Yeah. So you made use of that time of commuting, transportation. That's great. I'm just going to finish number 4, grandparenting from a distance. How many of you are grandparenting from a distance? Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of you. So for 6 years, we lived in North Carolina from 2010 to 2016, and grandchildren were being born, and it was just so difficult to not be with them, to not actually feel them and touch them and as often as I would have wanted. So even more intentionality is needed if you're doing grandparenting from a distance. You really have to have your head in the game to try to figure out, how can I keep connecting to these kids? How can they know me? How can I know them? So do you guys have this on your handout? Yay! Okay. So I have some things suggested there. We don't have the time to go through them all, but maybe they might spur some thinking in your mind. And I've listed some resources. I hope it's in your handout. I've listed some resources of grandparenting books, and a lot of them have lots of suggestions too. What a treasure. Oh, that's lovely. That is a wonderful, and I like that it was just one question a week, because sometimes they give me those books to fill out. I'm like, oh, I don't know. That just seems overwhelming. But one question a week is doable. That's good.
It was a great idea.
Yeah, very good idea. All right, we're going to finish now with number 6. Do you have number 6 challenge?
Yeah.
Yay. Okay, good. Now, it says challenge, and I also would add and comfort. That's not on your handout, but I added that later. Challenge and comfort. I mean, just I'm just going to share with you, honestly, the older I get, the more I crave ease and comfort. And I feel tired. And that is, again, I think, used by our enemy to we just lay low and we just maybe just let things slide by that shouldn't be slide by. So here's a challenge to us. In Psalm 92, I pulled out just verse 14, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. Is that us? Are we still bearing fruit? Are we still ever full of sap and green? As long as we're here, we got to burn for Christ, right? What are we here for? It's not to live for our ease, comfort, and pleasure. We're his servants. And we've got children and grandchildren to pour into. So I'm praying that the Lord, I don't know how long I have. I don't know how long I have health. So I'm trying to take, what does it say? Redeem the time, for the days are evil. They go by. Redeem the time. Caleb, at the age of 85, in the book of Joshua, chapter 14, he goes to his old buddy Joshua. They're in the promised land. And they're remembering how they scouted it out. And Caleb's like, give me that mountain. At the age of 85, give me that mountain. And he went and he fought and he got that mountain at the age of 85. Now I hope the Lord never gives me anything like that. But the Lord helped him. As we've talked about, he is with us. Think of all the old people in the Bible that God used in mighty ways when they were old. Abraham and Sarah, Moses. I mean, we could go on and on. All the old people that God used to do great and big things. We're not done yet. We're not done yet. But then here's the comfort. In Isaiah 46, verse 4, even to your old age, the Lord says, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. That's in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. All right. Well, thank you all for being here this morning. And I'm sorry again about the handouts. Maybe I can make sure that they can copy off the complete thing if you want it. But thank you.